The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And now the Sharks break out. Could be a three-on-one. Down the left side, here comes Will Smith, shoots and scores. Granlund came down the left side and fed it to Will Smith, and Smith beats Decord to make it 4-0 Sharks.
Yeah, we've grown a lot. I think we understand how we need to play. We understand our identity. We're having success, you know, 5-on-5, scoring a little bit more. We still have some things to work on and clean up on, but we're definitely growing as a group.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks close out the month of November with an impressive 4-2 win in Seattle, holding on after a 4-0 lead to a 4-2 win that at moments looked like it was going to be 4-3 with about 7.6 seconds remaining, only to have a goal overturned that was scored by Seattle. But wow, what a month for San Jose, and just what a ride we've been on. I just want to look back and what we've seen through these first 27 games of the season. If you look at the first 10 games, the San Jose Sharks had one win, and that came in game number 10 of the season. They started off 0-7-2, and then finally on the 28th of October got their first win of the year. If you look at the first month of the season, the month of October, they had 3 wins overall. So, okay, towards the end of the month, it ends with a 3-game win streak, but that's a step in the right direction for San Jose. If you look at the second 10 games, they won 5 out of 10 overall. So again, more growth that we're seeing from San Jose. If you look at their next 7 games, 21 through 27, you're looking at 3 wins, 1 shootout loss, and 3 other tight losses every single game they were in. If you look at the second month, for the entirety of November, you had 6 wins, 6 losses, 3 shootout losses. That means 9 out of 15 games you are registering points for San Jose. That is the majority of games. And yes, there were losses, but if we look at these losses, it is the loss against Vancouver in which they tied late and probably should have earned a point out of it. But that was still a very different team on November 2nd than they are today on December 1st. Then you look at the 5-2 loss against Minnesota. That's the only game as of late that they've really been outclassed. It just played against a better team and didn't have the matchup. Then you start looking at what everything has happened since then. You had a shootout loss to Philadelphia. You had a 3-2 loss to New York. You had a 4-3 loss to the Pens. You had a 5-2 loss to Dallas, of which it was 3-2 plus 2 empty netters. You had a shootout loss to St. Louis. You had a tight 4-2 loss to Buffalo. You had a 4-3 loss to Ottawa, and that's it. And that's why I've been coming back to this whole month for November. And I think that in the future, while I do not know what is going to happen the remainder of this season, I'm not trying to say, oh, this Sharks team is going to make the playoffs, because while it is certainly mathematically possible, it's just not in line with what my expectations are for the team. But I do think that when we look at the overall narrative for the San Jose Sharks in their teardown and in their rebuild, that this is a month that we're going to be able to point to and say, yes, this is when the Sharks started turning things around. This is when they started learning how to win. This is when they became a better team. And I do think that even if they have a rough start to the month here on this road trip, which they've started out with 2 out of 2 points with this win in Seattle, which is a great start, they now go to Washington, to Tampa, to Florida, to Carolina, and St. Louis. They're not back home until the 14th against Utah. That is a tough, tough stretch of scheduling for San Jose. But it's also important to say that while we look at this quote-unquote month of change that was November, what can they turn December into? Because October, that was, you know, a game that did not see a month until the final 3 games of the calendar. in November, they got things rolling. They got on a much better page. They got Macklin Celebrini back into their lineup. Will Smith got rolling. The entire team kind of gelled and started coming together. So let's see what happens in the month of December, because it's not an easy schedule, right? Like I said, that five-game road trip, you got Washington, Tampa, Florida, Carolina, St. Louis. Then you're home against Utah, Winnipeg, and Colorado. Those are three good teams. And Utah, I know that they're not quite what Winnipeg is or what we expect the Avalanche to be capable of, but that's still a good couple of teams that you're facing, a good few teams at home. Then you're at Edmonton. Yeah. Then you are at Vancouver. Then you get 3 days off for the Christmas break. And then you are hosting Vegas, Calgary, and Philadelphia to end the month. So, you know, for San Jose, this is truly a test. But then again, if you go back and look at the month of November before we knew where things were working out, you saw, you know, the game against Vancouver, and even though they've not been as good as they were last year, that was going to be a tough bit of scheduling. You had seen the hot start that the Wild were off to, even if you felt like Columbus was a winnable game. You knew that New Jersey was going to be tough. You knew that the Rangers were going to be tough. You knew that Philadelphia and Pittsburgh were going to present challenges. You knew that the Rangers weren't exactly a step over. You knew that Detroit, the Dallas, were going to be tough. You knew St. Louis was going to be tough. The Sabres, you said, okay, they haven't been a great team as of late. That's going to be tough. You looked at the Kings and you said, geez, that's a playoff team. That's going to be tough. You looked at Ottawa and said to yourself, okay, that's a quote-unquote winnable game. And then Seattle, you didn't know what was going to happen because it was a back-to-back, you know, on the consecutive days. And you thought to yourself, win the home game out of this. But, you know, San Jose got wins against good teams. Getting a 1-0 win against New Jersey on the road is a high-quality performance. Getting an overtime win against Detroit at home is a high-quality performance. Blowing out the Kings at home is a high-quality performance. So, again, for San Jose, there was no guarantee looking at that schedule that they were going to have as much success as they did. And I also think that where they were on November 2nd in losing against Vancouver is not the same as where they were at the end of the month in beating Seattle on consecutive days. So there are many things that we look at with San Jose right now and see the change from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. And that's just the big picture for San Jose. They were scoring fewer and fewer goals at the start of the month. And then the offense has started to come alive as of late. If you look at what they've been able to do, they had 5 goals in the overtime win against Detroit. They had 7 goals against LA. They had 8 goals against Seattle and 4 goals against Seattle. So in 4 of their last 8 games, they have had 4 or more goals. And if you compare that to where they were previously, their high point of the season was the 4 goals that they scored against St. Louis. And other than that, they were really not finding much in the way of goals until they had the overtime win against Utah, which they again scored 5, but that was overtime. And then they had 4 goals against LA and 3 goals against Chicago. But the offense has been coming alive. The veterans have been coming alive. The team has been coming alive. And while it doesn't necessarily point them on a trajectory to make the playoffs this year, the San Jose Sharks are far and away an extremely better team on December 1st than they were November 1st. Yes. November 1st, they had won some games, 3 in a row. You're feeling good, but that is not at all the same team that we are looking at today. This team today knows to a greater extent how to win. They know how to manage games. They know how to handle what's being thrown at them. They are that much more battle-tested. They are that much more aware of themselves and their teammates. There's greater chemistry. There's greater interplay. There's greater knowledge, and it's led to a better product on the ice game after game after game. Like I said, you can only point to the 1 loss against the Wild way back on November 7th as a loss that they did not really compete in. Every single game since then, they were right there. The only one that even looks similar on paper is the loss to Dallas, of which that's a 3-2 game, and Dallas nets 2 empty netters. Now, credit to Dallas. They're a better team than San Jose. I'm not trying to say anything like that, but the Sharks have been in every single game since that point. They've had the opportunity to win every single game since that point. They have not earned wins. They have not earned overtime or shootout losses in all of them. But in the vast majority of games for the month of November, 9 out of 15 games, they won or earned points. 6 wins, 3 shootout losses. That, my friends, is a step in the right direction. San Jose is growing before our very eyes. The game last night, though, I feel there were specific moments that were indicative of the growth that San Jose has shown over the last month. Because there are game situations in which San Jose was previously incapable of performing to where they are now coming up with big moments at big times that are allowing them to get wins and get points. And that's not to have a knock on them on what they were before, but it's just showing how far they've come up to this point. It was a scoreless game early on, right? Like, it was back and forth. The Sharks did not look particularly hot. They did not look like they were buzzing or anything to that extent. And as you were getting late in the first period, you thought to yourself, they really need a goal in this moment. They really need something to happen. And at 16:54, when you're getting close to the final 3 minutes of the period, Mario Ferraro, wearing the A on his sweater, comes through with a goal. And I believe he said at the intermission that, you know, he didn't think that there was much that was going to happen. He wasn't thinking to shoot. And then he saw that the goalie was blocked and he might have a little lane, and he threw it on net, and that ended up getting past. But the Sharks in that situation, when you're looking at a game on the road on the second night of a back-to-back and it's scoreless late in the first period, and you're thinking, boy, a goal at this point would do a lot for the San Jose Sharks' momentum and would help them, you know, move forward right now in this game. That goal did not happen previously. The San Jose Sharks, one of their greatest indictments of what them not being a good team, was that they did not come up with big moments when they needed it. At the critical moments of the games, instead of finding success, they would often find failure. Except for last night, a funny thing happened. Mario Ferraro, as you're thinking to yourself, get a goal before this period comes to a close, puts the Sharks in the lead 1-0. And that seemed to really change the dynamic and breathe life into San Jose, because you could see that they were a little bit, you know, tired in the legs. The second night of a back-to-back, you're on the road taking on Seattle, the same opponent that you just dropped 8 on the day before. And they also put quite a few goals on you as well. And you're just thinking to yourself, they need something, and they get that lead. And then they started rolling in the second period, right? Luke Cunningham with his 6th goal of the year, Jake Walman getting another point on this one, gives San Jose a 2-0 lead, and suddenly, for the first time all season, San Jose has a 2-0 lead. Yes, you are hearing that correctly. The first time all year, San Jose is up 2-0. And when we talk about firsts like that, that's again indicative of the growth we are seeing. And then they didn't stop though, right? Like, they started taking control of the game. That's something that they previously were not able to do, take control of games. And all their wins up to that point of the season, it was in overtime, it was, you know, comebacks, it was holding on to the seat of your pants, except for lately, they absolutely hammered the Kings and took control of that game with a 7-2 win. They were in a back-and-forth game with Seattle till they took control and ended up going on and, you know, shotgunning their way to an 8-5 win. And then yesterday, it's a 1-0 game in the second period, and they score goals from Luke Cunningham, Cody Ceci, and Will Smith to take a 4-0 lead and take control of the game halfway through the second period. Now, from that point on, San Jose's legs got tired. The ice was tilted towards the San Jose Sharks, and you then had to rely on your netminder. Mackenzie Blackwood came up with a huge performance for San Jose, and I thought that he was absolutely magnificent once again. 38 saves on 38 shots against. Yes, he gives up 2 goals, but none of those am I looking at Mackenzie and thinking, oh, he's got to make that stop. You know, I'm sure there's ones that he would think to himself, I should have, but I was not having a problem with the goals that were scored against Mackenzie Blackwood. He once again, in a game where he knew he was going to have to be big, came up big for San Jose. On the second night of a back-to-back on the road where you're trying to get consecutive wins, Mackenzie Blackwood did everything that was necessary for the Sharks to have a chance to win, and they got offensive support before he was truly tested. They were up 4-0, and then the onslaught came, but the Sharks gave themselves a buffer zone. They told Mackenzie Blackwood, you don't need to be perfect, we just need you to be good. And that is also a big step, because you compare that to, you know, the overtime win against Columbus. You needed to be really, really good in that game. You compare that to a 1-0 win against New Jersey. You need to be really, really good in that game, right? Those are games where San Jose was telling their netminder, be it Vitek Vanacek in the game against Columbus or Mackenzie Blackwood in the 1-0 win against New Jersey, that you've got to be darn near perfect in those situations. But then we look at where they are now in the wins they had this last week. You know, they had 4 games on the schedule between Monday and Saturday, 7-2 win against LA. You're not asking your netminder to be perfect. 8-5 win against Seattle. You're not asking your netminder to be perfect. 4-2 win against Seattle. You're not asking your netminder to be perfect. You're asking them to be good. You're asking them to be part of the win but you're not asking to be, you know, the horse to ride them to victory the entire way. And again, that's indicative of San Jose and being an overall better team. And you look at the contributions that you've seen as of late for San Jose, all you have to do is look at that score sheet out of last night's game. And I know that, yes, it's easy to point to the stats, which do not tell the entire story. But, you know, once again, look at all these players getting points. Granny's got 2 points. Wallman's got 2 points. CeCe got a point. Cunning got a point. Liljegren gets a point. Costin gets a point. Ferraro gets a point. Delandria gets a point. Will Smith gets a point. Celebrini gets a point. Those are all names that you are looking at and thinking to yourself, man, if you can get all those guys contributing, you know, that's going to give you a good chance of winning. But look who didn't get a point. None for Toffoli. None for Wennberg. None for Zetterlund. None for Sturm. None for Eklund. Right? Like, those are other contributing players that you've had up to this point of the season where you're looking at it and saying, you know, you need those guys to be rolling if you're going to get a win. But instead, you have the whole roster over the past two games seemingly contributing. You know, Ethan Cardwell had a big goal in Friday's game. He did not have a goal in last night's game. You know, you look at the way that, you know, Fabian Zetterlund or William Eklund have played as of late. They were not relied upon. You had other guys stepping up. But it's this overall trend we've seen as of late for San Jose where more and more guys are contributing. And again, we knew it was going to take time. But, you know, the way that the Sharks have been scoring goals in recent times, it's telling you that these guys, when they started the year, they were not all on the same page. And that's to be expected. I mean, they had a lot of learning to do. And the 0-7-2 start is relatively aberrant and odd to me at this point because none of us saw that coming. None of us saw the Sharks losing, you know, their first 9 games, even if they were able to pick up some points. And I think that made things a little bit more dire seeming than they really were and kind of colored or coded the way you were viewing all the games because, you know, the greatest context in all of sports, wins and losses. But I think you also had to look at some of the other things that were going on. One, you had an incredible amount of turnover on the roster and guys out there that were not a part of the team a year ago, or if they were, they were not consistently, you know, part of the team a year ago. A Daniil Gushin played a handful of games. A Clean Costin played a handful of games, right? Like, that's not the same team that we're talking about. Then you're looking at all these newcomers. You're talking about a Tyler Toffoli. Yes, he was able to contribute right away. He's been a star in the NHL. He's been able to consistently contribute over the entirety of his career. But then you go down the list from that point and you start looking at all the guys that have gotten in on the scoring. Your Wallmans, he's been great. Delandria, he's been great. You look at Wennberg, he's been great. You go, you know, you just look at all these names. You know, you look at everyone that's getting in on it. Timothy Liljegren wasn't even a part of the Sharks until they acquired him, I believe, on Halloween. So this is, again, a very different team than where they were in those first 9 games. And you also have to look at all those newcomers coming in and also the loss of Macklin Celebrini. And I'm not trying to oversell you on the importance of Macklin Celebrini, but also if you look at the Sharks with and without Macklin Celebrini, since he has come back, the Sharks have won 6 games. They have 5 regulation losses and 3 shootout losses. And the game in the month of November that he was not on the ice for was a 3-2 loss at home to Vancouver that you feel like they might have had a chance of getting a point out of that one if Macklin Celebrini had been out there on the ice. Now, of the Sharks' 18 losses up to this point of the season, 9 have been without Macklin Celebrini on the ice. So, again, it's you see the difference, right? Like, you look at what San Jose has been. Now, granted, the Sharks have also lost 8 games with Macklin Celebrini, but at the same time, I just look at the 2 versions with and without Macklin Celebrini that the Sharks have put out there on the ice this year. It's hard not to notice just how fun they are, just how good they are, and just what he's meant to the team. And then you also start looking at the transformation of Will Smith. Will Smith, we go back, you know, a month ago, and he was just coming off his first 2-goal, 2-point, any point performance of his career. Now he's got a 4-game point streak. He's had goals in 3 consecutive games. He's got 5 goals, 6 assists overall for 11 points, and he's literally getting better with each and every game. And remember, there were people who a month ago were crying for Will Smith to go down to the American Hockey League. Well, guys, it doesn't happen immediately. Yes, Macklin Celebrini looked absolutely phenomenal in his first game for San Jose. That is not going to be every day for Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini is also a very, very special talent. And Will Smith, guess what? He is now showing that even though he did not have the hottest start to his career, is looking like a very, very special talent as well. That play that he had with Mikael Granlund, where the Sharks looked like they had a no-doubter goal, I'm not sure a month ago if Will Smith buries that, but now he does. Mikael Granlund with the sauce pass, feeding Will Smith. I mean, that was just a great hockey play that good teams score 10 out of 10 times. Will Smith and Mikael Granlund teamed up to bury that opportunity, and it was a great moment for Will Smith. It was a great moment for San Jose. It gave them a very much insurmountable lead on the road. And again, that's the growth process that we talk about. It was not there previously with San Jose, but it sure is now. And then again, you go down the list and you look at all the guys contributing. You look at the young guys contributing. You look at everything that's been happening with San Jose. And that win against Seattle was not one that they were going to be able to handle a month ago, because after they went up 4-0, if we want to make comparisons to the game number one of the season when they were up 4-1 against St. Louis at home with the wind at their sails, they did not know how to manage the game. And yes, Seattle did have the ice tilted against San Jose. They were playing downhill hockey. It got a little rough there for a bit, but San Jose did not make the critical errors. Yes, Seattle scored because they were at home and they were going to get back into the game. You cannot expect a shootout in every single game. However, you can expect a pushback. And San Jose played like they were capable of handling the pushback to the extent that they were going to feel the push, they were going to feel the pressure, but they were not going to collapse in the game. And that, to me, was the most impressive thing, is that, you know, Seattle kept on pushing, but they did not take over the game. Yes, they did get back into it in the second period by way of a goal. I think that was somewhat expected. I don't think you were going to go through the entire game without giving up a goal. But, you know, late or halfway through the second period, they get their first goal. It's 4-1. And then in the third period, they don't make it a 4-2 game until 6:27. And then, yes, you can say, well, Ted, you know, that was a weak goalie interference call. Okay, but they didn't score that goal until there were 7 seconds left in the game. And when you've got an extra attacker out there, when you're going against a team that's on the second night of a home and away back-to-back, that's a tough situation for the Sharks. But still, I feel confident that if they had seen that goal go in for a good goal, and it's 4-3, with 7.6 seconds remaining, I think they would have been able to close out the game. I don't know that for a fact. I just feel like they would have. So yes, was the game as much of a 4-0 blowout as they had it at one point? No, of course not. But that's not how life is in the NHL. You are going to see pushback from the opposition. But again, San Jose managed that pushback. You didn't see that late game amazing flurry until the game was pretty much gone for. Yes, with 7.6 seconds left, there's plenty of time for another goal to be scored, but San Jose was able to manage the game well enough to put themselves in a winning situation. They gave themselves a buffer. They took control of the game and made Seattle go chase it at home. That is indicative of where San Jose is at this point in time. All right, let's get into some of these Dan Rusinowski highlights, because those are always fun to get into. Getting late into the first period, San Jose in a scoreless game at that point. They needed a moment. They needed momentum. And Mario Ferraro, the man wearing the A on his sweater, gets San Jose on the board.
Here comes Granlund. Nice play through center ice, but a better play by Burakovsky defensively to slow it down. Granlund gets it back. Here's Ferraro walking in. Shooting a puck, score! Mario Ferraro getting the feed after Granlund's nice zone entry, and somehow it deflected through to Cord, and the Sharks lead 1-0 with 3:06 left in this first period.
Huge moment for San Jose, right? Like, they needed to take advantage of what was being given to them in that game. It was a tight battle at that point. You could tell the Sharks not have the greatest legs in the world, but at that point, neither did Seattle. So you knew how important whoever was going to strike first in this game was going to be. San Jose found the opener. Mario Ferraro with another goal. He's been coming on offensively as of late, and so the Sharks get that lead. Then it was the second period when they really started taking off. Luke Cunnan, another player, another veteran who's been looking better and better with each passing game, he gets on the board for San Jose.
Here's Wallman moving it out. He's got Cunnan out of the box, and here comes Delandria to Cunnan, moving in, shoot, score! Luke Cunnan just got out of the penalty box, took a drop pass there from Ty Delandria, and the Sharks are up 2-0.
First 2-0 lead of the year for San Jose, sixth goal of the year for Luke Cunningham, and San Jose has taken control of the game. Now, granted, you're up 2-0 on the road. You know that no lead is safe. San Jose is still going back and forth with Seattle, but at this point, they looked like they were the better team. They were in control, and suddenly, San Jose started finding themselves, and they were really just looking like they were going to be opportunistic and take advantage, and that is when they found yet another goal, this time it was Cody Ceci with his first goal of the year for the San Jose Sharks. He was due, and he got it.
Near sideboards, Eklund went back to the point, and Ceci reverses it and rims it around. Celebrini on the left wing side's got it for the Sharks. Back to the point. Nice keeping by Wallman. Goes to Celebrini. He stick handles. He shoots just wide. Rebounds there for Ceci. He scores! Cody Ceci bangs it into the net, and the Sharks lead 3-0.
Suddenly, San Jose is in control of this game, and I did not expect them to be up 3-0, but then it looked like they had another opportunity, a breakaway, Granny, Will Smith, 4-0.
And now the Sharks break out, could be a 3-on-1. Down the left side, here comes Will Smith, shoots and scores! Granlund came down the left side and fed it to Will Smith, and Smith beats Decord to make it 4-0 Sharks!
Will Smith with another goal, Mikhail Granlund with another point, a two-point night for him, and San Jose in control. It is 4-0. Now, yes, the Kraken did get back into this game, but San Jose had enough to hold on. They showed just how far they've come in the month of November by holding on for that 4-2 win. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the game. He was asked about Mikhail Granlund.
Yeah, that's what he does, right? We've talked about him a lot. He arguably could be our MVP from this so far this season, just the way he plays on a nightly basis. He plays a 200-foot game. He's an extremely smart individual, understands what it takes to win at this level. He's so important to our team.
And the best thing about Mikhail Granlund is he missed a little time with an injury. And listen, that's how life is in the NHL. It's going to be hard to play all 82 games. But he comes right back, and now he's been productive for two games in a row for San Jose, getting in on the scoring, helping guys find the back of the net. That is what leaders do. They get back into the lineup without skipping a beat, and they contribute at the level they were previously. That is the most fun aspect of what Mikhail Granlund brings to the Sharks, game in, game out. He's going to produce. He just produces game after game after game. And other than that extended stretch of injury that he had at the start of last season, he has pretty much been like a point-per-game producer for San Jose. And considering a lot of people felt that he was beyond that at this point in time in his career, it's a lot of fun to watch. Like, this is just the San Jose Sharks and Mike Greer identifying Mikhail Granlund as a player that could help them lead young players, have success out there on the ice, and it's paying off game after game after game. Warsawski was also asked about Will Smith.
Yeah, it was good. He looks more and more comfortable every time he plays. Obviously, it's a faster game. A team gets really vertical quickly. We had trouble with that tonight, and not just him, but you know, all of our whole group, really. So we'll go back and look at the film. There's obviously some things he'll need to, you know, continue to improve on, but I thought he looked comfortable. He's getting more and more comfortable with the puck, playing the wing. So I thought he was solid tonight.
And I think the important thing to note there from Warsawski is that he talked about Will Smith looking more comfortable game after game after game, and that's what the relative expectation should be. And I know I talked about earlier the fact that people were surprised that he wasn't a superstar from game number one of his NHL career, but you know, he's playing like a star player in the NHL now. And then you also have to take into the account that the Sharks are just a better team now. The talented players are playing like better players. They are surrounding themselves essentially with more talent than what they had at the get-go because people were not as comfortable with everyone out there. And you've got Will Smith out there with Mikhail Granlund, right? You've got Macklin Celebrini with Lund brothers in Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund. You've got, you know, Tyler Toffoli playing in different spaces out there on the ice. And, you know, he, even though he is a top-line producer, they've spread out the scoring a little bit. The team adjusted. The San Jose Sharks that are out there on the ice are not the same team that was out there in game number 5 or game number 15. Now, through 27 games, they are looking like a team that knows how to roll lines and knows how to produce and knows how to win. That's very different than where they were, and it's a change that should be wholly accepted and appreciated. And Warsawski talked about the team rolling four lines.
Yeah, we want to be a team that can, you know, play four lines, and we believe we have a deep enough team to do that. And when we're playing five and five, when our four lines are going, it's usually when we get a lot of momentum and we're rolling over our lines and they're short and sweet. So we got to continue to, you know, play five on five, and when we have the momentum, we can't be taking, you know, penalties, stick penalties to kind of you know, ruin our flow and our flow of the game.
And that's who San Jose wants to be. You don't just want Tyler Toffoli and Fabian Zetterlin and William Eklund racking up all your points. You want production across the board from your lines. You want your D-men getting in on the scoring. You want everyone, the entirety of the team, to be helping you get wins game after game after game. And that's what it's felt like from San Jose for these past two games against Seattle. It feels like everybody has contributed in one way or another. And look at that, the Sharks have back-to-back wins in a back-to-back situation before going out to the East Coast for five more on the road. We're out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off. I'll see you Tuesday before the Sharks take on Washington.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.